I'm Shanna Hutchison, dietitian, blogger, and mama, born and raised in the heart of the Midwest. I believe that wellness goes way beyond what we eat and that our body size does not determine our worth. I am passionate about showing other women how to live a life they truly love, one that feels purposeful, that helps them feel their best physically, mentally, and emotionally, and that being a mom can be one of the best things you ever do without it becoming your entire identity. This is a place you can come to hear vulnerable and interesting conversations about health and wellness, motherhood, entrepreneurship, and more. If you want to find freedom with food, learn how to improve your overall well-being, and stop waiting for a number on the scale to start living your best life and go after your goals, then you're in the right place. I'm so excited to learn and grow together. This is the Wellness for the Win podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you are all having a great week so far. I, as always, really appreciate you tuning into my show. It means so much to have you here. And I just wanted to give a quick thank you, especially to those who listen on a regular basis. I know I have some people who tune in every single week, and that means truly the world. So thank you for that. And those of you who have left ratings or reviews or shared an episode with a friend, it just means a lot. So I wanted to take a second to read a few recent reviews. And I would be super grateful if you could also take a minute to leave one today if you haven't already. This, again, really helps me grow my show and become visible to new listeners, but also helps me understand what you guys are enjoying and what you want to hear about in the future. So I'm going to dive into just two reviews for now. And I would give a shout out, but these, when you leave reviews, it like, I don't know, it doesn't like tell me people's names. So the first one and most recent one is a 5-star review or 5-star rating. And the title is Love, Love, Love from Beck138. And it says, I recently listened to Shanna for the first time on Rachel Cruz's podcast and absolutely loved what she had to say. Since then, I've been binging her podcast, trying recipes from her blog, and stalking her Facebook and Instagram. Absolutely love her realness as a mom, woman, dietitian, her advice, and her passion. I'm hooked for sure. Thank you so much. That was the sweetest. So yes, I was on Rachel Cruz's podcast. Maybe I'll leave a link for that in the show notes if you guys want to tune into that. It was a good conversation, and I was very grateful for that opportunity. Okay, the next one here is from Samantha Reed, and the title says, Amazing Relatable Podcast. It says, Shanna's podcast is one of my favorites. She's so down to earth and all the topics she covers are so relatable. I love her perspectives, and so many episodes have been extremely helpful, informative, and validating for me. Thank you so much, Samantha. I really appreciate that. So again, I won't read a ton more for now, but I just really appreciate you guys' feedback. And I just want you to know it does not go unnoticed when you leave reviews. I check them, I read them, and they make me super happy. So thank you. So for today's episode, I have one of my followers on the podcast, actually. So Meg Johnson reached out to me about sharing her story, and I thought it would be a really good topic to cover. So Meg is 26 years old and suffers from hearing loss. And in this episode, she walks us through her story of being diagnosed at a young age and what life looks like for someone who is differently abled. We kind of talk through that in this conversation as well. You know, how do you want to use the word disability or disabled, or we kind of settled on the words differently abled, which I really like. So she talks us through some other ways that we can better support these individuals and talk to people who have different needs than us, and how we can encourage our kiddos to do the same. And she also touches on some ways that her hearing loss has impacted her confidence and what she's done over the years to really embrace who she is and so much more. I really think that a lot of the things that we talk about in this episode would translate to other areas of life as well, and how we can just simply be more patient and kind with anyone we come into contact with in today's busy, fast-paced world where a lot of people are just like, not patient and not kind, to say the least. So I really enjoyed this, and I appreciate Meg coming on and reaching out to me. So thank you, Meg, for coming on, and let's just go ahead and dive into the episode and meet her.
So my name is Meg Johnson, and I've lived in Kansas City for the past almost 5 years, but I was actually a military kid. So I lived in 3 continents before the age of 11. So I am like from nowhere and everywhere at the same time. And so that's a really interesting aspect of my life. But I lived in Kansas City. I got married. I went to Mizzou and moved here in 2018. I am a social worker. I'm a oncology hospital social worker here in Kansas City. And so that's just kind of like some big things about me, you know, why we're here today. I came to kind of talk about my hearing loss. I was diagnosed at the age of 13 with a hearing loss, and then I didn't receive my first pair of hearing aids till I was 17. So to kind of dive into a little bit of that, for starters, we don't really know exactly why I have a hearing loss. Or where it started. There's not like any exact genetic component to it. Before I turned 4 years old, I had three massive ear infections, where I like lost the ability to walk actually. And I had to relearn how to walk three times by the time I was four. But then 10 years later, I was diagnosed with a hearing loss. So we don't know if that was puberty or whatever. But my parents started to notice when I was at the dinner table that I wasn't following the conversation very well. Multiple people were talking, or if they called me from another room, that they couldn't. So I was kind of taken in, and then got my hearing tested when I was in eighth grade. And that's when we discovered that I have had a mild hearing loss, or a sensory neuro hearing loss.
Okay. Wow. That is interesting that there's no cause, but it, you know, it does make you wonder if you're, you know, the things you experienced as a young child, like those really severe ear infections, if that did play a role. Do they think that it's likely tied to each other, or they're not sure?
Because I moved around so much, so yeah, I was born in England.
Okay.
So all of this happened when I was in England. And then I moved to like to Florida and Georgia and like Japan and all these places. So like, it's not like I've had like medical records from the same doctor or place. So that definitely, I think, plays a part of it. But I mean, it's not like you get hearing, getting your hearing tested is not a preventive measure.
Right.
So people like don't get it tested regularly, especially as kids. Like you get tested like whenever you have a baby, but then you have kids. I don't have kids. I don't think you test your hearing again. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I remember, yes, I know that he got it tested when he was born in the hospital. And then I feel like I remember, and maybe this is kind of where we differ with your experience kind of bouncing around in your younger, you know, childhood years, but I definitely remember having like hearing tests in elementary school. I can't remember the frequency or how often we did that, but I know that we would, you know, we would like similar to the headphones I have on now, we would like kind of put those on and they, you know, you would listen for the beeps and stuff like that. But I can't remember how often that was, if that was like annually or every couple years or what.
Okay. It's good that you mentioned that, because I did actually have an experience like that in elementary school, but I wasn't sure if it was like, is this just my one elementary school? Because I went to four in three different states. So
yeah, my gosh.
So I did have that. And what I will say is I sat in the back of class as a small kid until I was about 13, where I was in the front of class. And all throughout elementary school, I actually really struggled in school until I went to the front and I was making better grades. So my parents now looking back are like, maybe you did have a hearing loss back then. Like it's just we're just not exactly sure, you know, why we went 10 years from last massive ear infection when I was 3 to 13.
Yeah.
So they don't really have an answer for that, but I guess that's kind of common with hearing loss. There's not always an answer. My type of hearing loss is called sensory neuro, which means that I have inner ear and nerve damage.
Okay. Interesting. And then you mentioned you went several years before getting hearing aids. So what was that period of time like? Like, did you need to learn sign language, or what was, I guess, the severity of it? You know, what did those years look like?
So to kind of explain, like I need to explain kind of the different types of hearing loss. So there's like mild, moderate, severe, and very severe. So I have what's considered a mild hearing loss. So that means that like you can have conversations with people, but it's hard to hear soft sounds. Mm. And like certain letters, like I get F as in Foxtrot and S as in Sierra mixed up a lot, because they sound so similar and they're really soft sounding.
Yeah.
So I can hear, I never like how to do like ASL or something like that, but I have a moderate hearing loss is like someone that they hit here, but they have like, it's hard for them to hear speech when someone else is talking. like, and they can't hear like soft sounds very well at all. So it's just like a more progressed form. And then severe is they can't hear like any conversation and they can hear like loud sounds. And then very severe is like it has to be like super loud, like a plane taking off. And that's kind of where like deaf comes in with very severe hearing loss. So I have like a mild hearing loss. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So with having mild or even like moderate, for example, with that type, is it something that is progressive or do they say, you know, you're likely to stay stable at that level or what does that kind of look like?
So again, I don't have a diagnosis, so I'm kind of like in like my own fun land of just figuring it as I go along.
Yeah.
Mine has progressed, but not terribly. So I, you know, I'm 26. So I was 13, I was originally diagnosed. It's like still within the mild category, but it's inching towards moderate. Gotcha. So I've definitely like done things differently than I did like 6 or 7 years ago. Okay. But to go back to your original question of like, okay, well, why did I was there 4 years in between the age of 13 to original diagnosis to the age of 17 when I had hearing aids. So when I was 13 years old, because I was in the military, I was on TRICARE health insurance. And TRICARE is very difficult because it's just very limited to the amount of providers that accept TRICARE.
Gotcha.
So I was sent to a pediatrician ENT who was like, well, like you make good grades in school. I don't really see the need for hearing aids. Which is very odd. I mean, I was doing good in school, but I still had trouble hearing at social conversations.
Right.
So, because you can do good in school, but then still struggle on other aspects of your life.
Right, for sure.
And then I moved
out
of
okay.
that place. That was in Alabama. And I went to, I was 17. I was in Sumter, South Carolina, which is where I went to high school. And I had a minor ear infection, actually. It wasn't like a huge one, but I was dizzy. And the doctor's like, you know, you should really get hearing aids. Like, you've had this for 4 years. Like, this is insanity that, like,
yeah,
you don't have this. Like, we're going to get you started on this before you go to college. So
yeah.
I got my first pair when I was, it was January 15th of 2014. And then I bought my second pair like April 2021. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of, does that answer that question?
Yeah. Was it totally like life-changing to get hearing aids and be like, wow, I can actually hear clearly? Like, does it give you full hearing or is it still a little bit limited or? I guess I'm not totally aware of that.
That's okay. Yeah, it definitely like helps. Like things are so much louder. So like it's really cool in that sense with like with my hearing loss. So how I try to describe it, it helps people. So like whenever you go to a party and stuff, right? Like you've got all your friends and you've got like all those people around, but you know, you're able to like, you know, keep up with like the multiple conversations where people are kind of talking like across the room. Mm-hmm. I can hear people. I may hear a word, a couple words, what they're saying, but I actually can't keep up with the conversation.
Got it.
So, and it's because like people's ears naturally, like they tune out the background noise. Mine don't turn out the background noise as much.
Got it.
So what hearing aids do is that they tune out that background noise a little bit so that you can, and so that it can focus in on the person. But it's not 100%, doesn't 100% replace my hearing, but it definitely helps.
Sure.
My husband makes fun of me because I don't wear my hearing aids on the weekends. And he's like, oh my God, Meg, why?
Yeah.
Why did you do this?
That's funny.
I can definitely hear without them, but I hear much better with them.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool. It's kind of like makes me think of like, for example, I have really bad vision. And obviously, like with contacts and glasses, it makes my vision almost perfect. But with like bifocals, for example, it kind of sounds like the similar thing with like the background noise, like, you know, helps you see at different distances, things like that. So it kind of is a similar concept, I guess. But that would be really, really nice, I'm sure, to especially after years of not having that extra support that you needed. I'm glad there was a doctor that was finally like, yeah, you need these and that you got them.
Well, he was really concerned about like the lecture halls and like undergrad, yeah. which like I went to, it was my first high school. I had 20 people in my grade.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, real small. And then I went to 1,000 person high school, 1,000 for preliminary grade. Real culture shock. But yeah. the classroom sizes were never like too massive. So he was like really concerned about that. Like, you haven't actually been in a lecture hall.
Yeah.
How is that going to go for you?
For sure. Yeah. That's yeah. definitely a different environment. I'm sure you would need that. So that's really good. That's very helpful to kind of get a feel for the progression and just the background and the different types of the hearing loss as well. Hey friends, interrupting this conversation really fast to tell you about a brand I love, and that is Hill & Hazel. Hill & Hazel is an online boutique owned by my friend Hillary that sells the freaking cutest clothes at affordable prices. She launches new items every single week, and I promise you will not be disappointed. Check out her page at Shop Hill & Hazel on Instagram and you'll see what I mean. Whether you need some cute tops for going out with friends, a new dress for weddings, baby showers, or other festivities, or even shoes and accessories, she has you covered. She offers a great mix of basics and closet staples, as well as fun and unique items that you will love. You can use my code SHANNA10 to get 10% off your purchase at hillandhazel.com. Happy shopping! And so I got a lot of questions from followers who were, you know, interested in asking questions like, how can we be more supportive of people who do have disabilities? And what kind of language do you prefer when it comes to, you know, disabilities? Because I know you mentioned, you know, you kind of reached out as someone that struggles with a disability. But I guess, is there a certain like label or certain language that you prefer or that you dislike hearing? You know, how do you kind of, I guess, identify as someone with hearing loss?
So when I actually emailed you, I said like someone with a disability, because that's typically like what society says.
Sure.
Also, I mean, like it's an eye catcher, you know?
Sure.
So I personally like don't say like I have a disability. Like I'm just speaking like for my personal experience. So I am not like by any means like labeling other people with disabilities or anything sure. like that. I would say like definitely like person first language. I don't think you can go wrong with like, so for example, like instead of handicapped, you would say a person in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now there's some exceptions to that, but I think just examples like that, like we're going to put the person first. So when I introduce myself to people, I say, oh, I have a hearing loss. And that's what other people describe me as. I don't particularly like hard of hearing because I just feel like that sounds like a mouthful, but I mean, it's the same thing essentially.
Sure.
But I think I saw one that I like that was differently abled. And I think that's a super cool term because like, even though I have a hearing loss and like, but I also work in a hospital, like, and we all wear masks. So yeah, I have a hearing loss and it's definitely difficult. It definitely has the struggles with that, but I'm still able to do my job. I just am differently abled. I have my hearing aids and I just have to like explain myself a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like a really cool term to say, like, I don't like the term disabled. I just only said that because that's what a lot of people say, but
sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of my thoughts on that.
That makes sense. I really like that. I agree. I think differently abled is a perfect way of stating it because disabled, I think we just have like this negative connotation to it and it doesn't necessarily need to be like that. So, you know, just the fact that you do things differently or have different abilities is not a bad thing. So I appreciate you kind of clarifying that. And hopefully that'll be something we can all take away and remember when we do refer to people. And as, you know, as someone who does have hearing loss, what are some things that you wish like more people knew or things that people do for you that are aware that you have the hearing loss? You know, what are things that people do that you appreciate that maybe more of us could take away and try to be more conscious of?
Yeah, I love this question because I think like it's such a great question. So like one of the things for me that is hard, so as a social worker, I'm constantly talking to people. Mm-hmm. And so because I'm constantly talking to people, I can't always hear them. I have to ask them to repeat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no, everyone can get a little frustrated. I have a lot of empathy for people, which is sometimes my greatest curse and also my greatest blessing because I'm like, very empathetic with people that get frustrated with me.
For sure.
But it's so much harder for the person who can't hear. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like on the third, like repeating yourself, you're like, oh my gosh, like I've said it three times. Now I'm getting annoyed. It is so much harder for me who can't hear. It's just trying so hard to hear.
Yeah.
And so I would say like, be patient. Mm-hmm. Like going and like being patient is like such a big deal. Like, because there are a lot of people who are not patient, who are not nice about it and really frustrated about it. And so I would definitely say like that is a big thing. And then I would say the second thing is I always tell people like, hey, I'm Meg Johnson. I have a hearing loss, by the way, so I ask you, you know, to repeat something. When people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you have a hearing loss. Oh, well, I don't really need the pity. This is more like just a FYI, like,
yeah,
you're probably just going to have to repeat back to me a couple sure. times. But then sometimes too, and this is like a tip I would say, is if you notice like, okay, like this, I've told this person like the same thing like three times and now, you know, they aren't quite getting it. Try rephrasing it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, with my example, like I get F and S mixed up. Mm-hmm. If you rephrase the word, it may be easier. You may eventually get there. So sure. I would definitely say like, that's like some of the biggest things that like, I wish people would know is like, we want to hear, trust
me. Right.
Like we want to, and it sucks when we don't because yeah. But the second part of your question, I think, was, you know, what do you appreciate that people do for you? So I have like some of the best friends in the world and they like always, I went to Las Vegas last year. Like mm-hmm. I would go to lots of places where I absolutely know I'm not going to be able to hear very well.
Yeah.
And my husband and my friends are like always like there and are always like, you know, okay, well, we make it a group of mass. Let's go find Meg individually and let her know and make sure she understands. So
yeah.
One thing I would say with two having hearing loss is like, you need to make sure you have my attention. You can't just like call me from behind mm-hmm. and like people do that. So that's one thing. The other thing that's really helpful is I have to use captions and it's not that I do tons of movie nights to other people's houses now that I know I'm an adult, but it does mm-hmm. happen with family where like, I'll be like, oh yeah, well, will you just set up captions? They're like, well, I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that. Well, we don't normally do it this way. Well, I mean, you invited me, so.
Right.
But people who like go ahead and think about that, it's like awesome. Like it's
yeah.
great. It's, mm-hmm. like, because it makes me feel like I'm like a burden to them if I'm having to like ask them to get captions. But if it's just like,
right.
oh, there you go. It's all there for you. So
for sure. Absolutely. Those are really, really good reminders and just like such simple things that I think, you know, we just don't think about. And it makes me sad and frustrated for you that even when you preface with people, hey, you know, I have hearing loss, I may need you to repeat yourself. The fact that some people are impatient with you, like makes me really angry. But I'm glad, I hope that you have plenty of people who are compassionate and patient and, you know, that kind of stuff too. I'm sure it's definitely a mix. And like you said, it does give you a different, you know, level of empathy when you are someone who's gone through that and you obviously understand what it's like, but yeah, just a good reminder for all of us to be patient with people and, you know, whether we know if they have hearing loss or not, you know, whatever the case may be, there's so many situations. And just like you said, you know, so many people are just impatient these days and rude to people that they don't even know. And it's sad to see, like at the grocery store, you know, wherever you go, or in hospitals, wherever it is, it's upsetting.
Yeah.
But those are good reminders. And so that reminds me too, like with the, like you mentioned with captions, you know, on like Instagram, for example, where people are chatting, like on their Instagram stories or even like videos, you know, obviously reels are so big now. And a lot of times people aren't using captions and that's probably super frustrating too. And even, I mean, I think, I can't remember what the statistic is that like 80% or something of people are listening or watching Instagram with their sound off anyway. So a lot of people appreciate having captions and like I myself, you know, if I'm feeding a baby in the middle of the night, for example, and watching a story and someone's just chatting away for three slides and they don't have captions, I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch this. So yeah. I think, you know, captions are helpful for a lot of people for a lot of reasons, but I'm sure, you know, even like just for all of us to remember to make our content more accessible for people who need that. You know, is that something that you have noticed on Instagram that's been like frustrating for you? Or do you feel like you see a good amount of captions that is helpful? Or
I feel like I see like a pretty good amount of captions within the last year.
Yeah.
I think like with COVID and everyone having to go to mask, that like really like people realize like, oh my gosh, like I didn't realize like how much I rely on people to like,
right,
to read their facial expressions. So mm-hmm. I actually really miss that. But I do work in a hospital. Outside of the hospital, obviously people don't wear masks, except for different parts of the country. But
sure,
you know, that is definitely like captions are so great. And I feel like also like I've gone back and rewatched movies like when I was younger and I'm like, man, I can actually like see what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually really funny. like I actually like know what's actually happening and it's hard. So I have to like test the movie if I go see it in theaters by the trailer. So if I can't follow what the trailer's saying, I can't see it in theaters. So that's kind of my rule. So like Top Gun Maverick, great movie. I mean, my dad was a fighter pilot, so of course I'm like biased towards it.
Yeah. But,
I absolutely was never going to see that movie in theaters because they have the mask all over their mouths.
And yeah.
That's one thing, by the way, with having hearing loss, like seeing people's faces definitely helps out with like kind of guessing what they're trying to say and like seeing that, but that doesn't mean I can lip read like 100%. Like most lip reading is like 20% of what you're actually saying. So I just want that also said too. Like I look forward to the day when maybe hospitals won't wear masks.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And yeah, I'm sure it's helpful to have the lip reading in addition to, you know, being able to somewhat hear too. But yeah, having that completely taken away. And like you said too, just like facial expressions and, you know, so many of the things that we miss when we're, you know, half of our face is covered. It's definitely made things a little bit more challenging, especially for certain people. Okay, I have to tell you guys about one of my absolute favorite things that I'm pretty confident that you need in your life as well. We're all on our phones for a large portion of every day, right? So why not make it easier and more comfortable to hold your phone or prop it up with a nifty little gadget? I'm talking about my Love Handle Phone Grip. I'm seriously obsessed with this thing. So it's a stretchy strap that you can put on the back of your phone, but you can still lay your phone flat or stick it in your back pocket. It also has a little kickstand on the back so you can prop your phone up, which is probably my favorite feature that I'm using constantly. It even has a super strong magnet on the back. They have tons of cute designs and you can stick them on any phone case. If you've been looking for something like this, look no further. Use my affiliate code WellnessForTheWin for 10% off your purchase of Love Handle. All right, let's get back to the show. You know, what is the hardest part of like when you kind of reached out, you mentioned that it's difficult living in a hearing world. You know, we live in a world that is made for people who can hear and who can see. And we just assume that everyone has, you know, again, the same abilities. So, you know, what is the most kind of challenging part of living in our society for you?
Yeah, I would say definitely ordering food at a restaurant or fast food, whether that be through the drive-thru, whether that be at the counter, over the phone, anything like that is really hard. Because typically when you go to a restaurant, unless it's like some odd hour of the day, it is usually packed.
Yeah.
It's usually busy. And there's usually lots of like background noise. And then you have this waiter who's, you know, doesn't get paid enough to do the job that they do. And I always over tip because I know they work so hard. But, you know, like they're hustling. Like they got a million tables and they got people calling for them. And so it's hard. Like that is really hard. And also like a lot of restaurants are really wide open spaces. So like for me, when I go to a restaurant, I really try to sit with my back against like a corner because then the noise like kind of bounces out and then I'm able to like have a conversation with like my table people.
Sure.
Restaurants, you know, like they've gotten rid of like a lot of that like soft material, if that makes sense, or the hard material, and just made it more open. So also big open house spaces don't do well for me either.
Okay. So,
my parents' house in Tennessee is super open. Like their dining room and their kitchen and like the living room are all in like this giant room. Mm-hmm. It was so hard for me to like follow what was going on.
Yeah.
Like especially because people talk across the room. So that's like I can hear like one person, they're talking like right in front of me and are like I can hear, but like if they talk to someone else across the room, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That is hard. And that's, again, just like little things that we don't often think about, but that's a good call. Just like going to a specific area that you know is going to be easier. And do you kind of take advantage of like online ordering whenever you can for like certain things? Or I'm sure that's probably a lot easier too, right?
I mean, as much as I can, you know, it's always spontaneity.
Right.
But you know, my husband is like one of the best people ever. And part of the reason I actually was like interested in him is because he was the first person in my life that never made me like feel bad about having a hearing loss. Mm. I was like, hey, I have a hearing loss. You know, if you call me, I'll just, if I ignore you, it's like not on purpose.
Yeah.
I'm a nice person, I promise. And he like never forgot that. Like he always like came up to me like because we worked together in college. So my husband kind of like also takes the lead on that too. I let sure. him do that. If I didn't let him, he'd be fine with that too.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I'm glad you found a partner that is super supportive and helpful for you in that aspect too. Cause I did wonder, you know, if that did impact like dating at all, or if that was ever something that you struggled with, you know, prior to getting married. Did you have like interactions when you were dating that people did make you feel like less than because of it, or just like uncomfortable?
Yeah, I didn't have like, I met my husband at 19, by the way.
Okay.
So it's not like I had like
kind of teenage sweethearts.
Yes. Teenage sweethearts is better. And like my first high school, it was like that 20-person high school. They didn't have like anything outside of their own world. I was already the kid that moved from Japan that came yeah. there. So I was already an oddball to like begin with. But
you were just well traveled.
I was just, well, yeah, I was in Alabama. I was just, I was already this weird one. So yeah, definitely. Like there were, and at one point in high school, I think someone may have asked me out, but I just said no, because I always say yes sometimes, but I don't know what someone's saying. They repeated themselves. So I sometimes I switch it up and say no. I do think about that occasionally. And I'm like, I wonder if they did ask me out, but I just said no, just to switch it up. So who knows? But yeah, no.
Well, I'm glad your husband is a great man. He sounds like a good one. And someone asked, how can we educate our kids? Because I think, you know, this is a topic that we think about as parents, you know, as our kids are growing up. And, you know, whether it's comments about some people's bodies or different abilities, you know, all those kinds of things, you know, those conversations come up. And, you know, my son now is only 2, but and you know, within the next couple of years, he'll probably notice certain things and make certain comments. And, you know, how can we as parents be sort of like educating our kids about people with different abilities, and how, what would be, you know, some of your advice on how to maybe navigate that, or again, like language to use or anything?
So I will say I don't have kids my own.
Sure.
So I don't quite know how to say it that way. But what I would say is like, I don't think you can ever go wrong with teaching your child to be empathetic and kind.
100%.
I think teaching them like, you know, hey, like maybe they're just like really struggling. Like, why don't we try like rephrasing it a different way?
Yes.
Things like that. I would also say like, maybe this doesn't have as much to do with kids, so we'll just see where it goes. But like I still do this, and I'm trying to break the habit. But sometimes if I've asked someone to repeat myself and I'm getting embarrassed, I just say yes and hope it was what they needed and it wasn't important. And then, but sometimes my face is really blank as I say that. So people pick up on it though, and are like, did you actually notice what I was saying, or did you like kind of just say that? So,
yeah.
But I definitely think you can't go wrong with like teaching your kids to be like empathetic and like kind, and like, you know, even if someone has a wheelchair, be like, you know what? Wow, they like do things differently. Like they can, they see the world on a whole different level that we're never going to see.
Yeah.
And just like, instead of like noticing like it's a bad thing, noticing is like it's a good thing. So, and like for the best examples I'm like, I know is like, there's a guy named Spencer West on Instagram, and he doesn't have any legs, but he can drive a car.
Wow. Amazing.
Right. I would never have told you that would be possible, but it is. So
that's,
it's
amazing.
Really cool. So like, it's cool to see that. It'd be like, oh, he's totally cool. Like he doesn't have legs, but he lives by himself. He may need help changing a light bulb, but I'm short. I also need help changing a light bulb. So we're all
Right.
But yeah, so it's stuff like that, like just noticing like people are different, and but that's not a bad thing either.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I completely agree with that. And such a good point to, again, to kind of take home is teaching our kids to be kind and patient and empathetic. And those are all things that we have to model to them first, you know, is we, they'll benefit from watching us be patient and kind with people. And yeah, those are very, very good, good tips for sure. If you are currently pregnant or postpartum and looking for some safe, effective, and quick workouts to do, you have to check out Expecting and Empowered. I used their workout guides during my pregnancy with Rhett, but now they are new and improved and they have an app for your phone, which makes it so easy and convenient to use. They even have Spotify playlists already created for you that you can access to listen to while you work out. These workouts are programmed specifically for your stage of pregnancy and or postpartum, and I know that when I was a first-time mom-to-be, I always felt super nervous about what types of exercise I should or shouldn't be doing, so I love knowing that they are all safe and supportive of the stage that you're in right now. The pregnancy workouts specifically include flexibility, pelvic floor, and strength moves, and they have workouts for upper body, lower body, and then a full body workout day. I have loved using these workouts so far during this pregnancy, and I'm excited to keep using them so I can continue to feel strong leading up to labor and recovery, and of course to keep up with my crazy toddler in the meantime. You can use my affiliate code WellnessForTheWin to save when you sign up for the app. I'll leave all the information for you in the show notes as well. I hope you love it as much as I do. I know we kind of talked about this a little bit offline before, you know, about some ways that maybe you feel like you've been discriminated against or just simply something that someone may do unintentionally that would like rub you the wrong way or any comments that people would make. I know we kind of touched on like the word disabled or disability, that kind of stuff. Is there anything else that you can think of specifically regarding that question that would be helpful to touch on?
I actually just had a situation happen last week at work that's perfect for this question.
Oh, perfect. So, let's hear it.
So like I said, I am the oncology social worker. So I get called to do all kinds of weird stuff at my job. I can do anything from like hospice to like, I need you to help this patient, like figure out where the tube feedings are. I've done weird stuff. So I'm kind of used to being asked to do some weird things. And with my hospital, it's not uncommon. So of course, I get a call from the front desk and the receptionist was like, hey, so we have a deaf patient and you have a hearing loss, so you can interpret for them. And I'm like, no, ASL is a completely different language. I took ASL in college. I could maybe ask them a question like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But like, and she was frustrated with me and she was like, well, what do you mean you don't know? And I'm like, it's a whole different, it's literally a language that you learn. And I was like, in addition to that, let's say I was ASL like fluent. I also can't hear the doctor enough. I have to hear the doctor to interpret. That is like coming this way and coming out a different way. And I have to like remember that and sign that.
Right.
But I can't do that because I don't have that hearing component super well that I can't not look at the doctor and not look at the patient. Like that won't work. And so she's like, well, we're going to have to like cancel the appointment then because they didn't bring an interpreter to the appointment. And I know we don't have in-person like ASL interpreters. I'm like, absolutely not. You're going to call language services and they're going to handle that because that's against the American with Disabilities Act. So don't do that. So I wasn't rude to her, but I was like,
firm.
I was like, okay, this is an educational piece.
Right.
So there happens to be another person with a hearing loss in the clinic. So I'm telling her the story and she's like, she called me too.
And oh
I was like,
gosh.
Well, hey, you're not completely deaf yet, but you can interpret. And this other person was like, oh my gosh, like, why do people assume that just because we have a hearing loss means that we know a whole nother language? Because it's like asking someone who wears glasses, can you translate Braille?
Right. Yes. That's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So, and like, you know, I'm very good at laughing it off and I'm sure she'll never ask me to do it again. But, you know, I was like, okay, well, that needs to be a discussion then that you just assumed I knew ASL. So,
right. Yeah, that is super frustrating that she would be frustrated with you. It's like, you can't just make that assumption. So yeah. That is a good one to point out for that question for sure. And speaking of, so someone, a speech language pathologist, actually submitted a question to my question box because she was wondering if you ever did work with an SLP. And so I wasn't sure, is that something that you like get referred to see a speech language pathologist when you're diagnosed with hearing loss, or did you ever have any experience working with one?
That is like a great question. I have not, because my story is like weird. And I mean, just because my hearing loss has been fairly stable and
sure.
I didn't necessarily have the diagnosis till I was 13. So I didn't really need a speech language pathologist, but I would say like a situation where that would be needed is if someone did completely lose their hearing,
mm-hmm.
but they wanted to learn to speak.
Sure.
Or if you're born deaf or have significant hearing loss and learning how to read, because my grandmother was a speech language pathologist.
Oh, okay.
So she spent a lot of her life teaching deaf children how to read, or children who are deaf how to read. So, which is interesting because they can't, I'm so curious how that would work. So,
yeah,
you know, I do have the benefit of like being able to hear, you know, just not as well as other people do.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good thing to point out because I think, at least for me, I think that is the assumption a lot of times that if you have significant hearing loss, that it does impact your speech or your ability to speak. So I guess it's helpful to kind of go back to what you mentioned with like the spectrum of hearing loss, like the mild to moderate to severe, and how that impacts people differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about, so, you know, you've kind of mentioned too, I guess, prior to us chatting that you've been working on self-confidence and kind of loving yourself with this diagnosis or, you know, with the hearing loss. And what has that kind of looked like for you when you were initially diagnosed? I think, you know, especially at the age you were diagnosed, that's such a vulnerable age anyway, that we're like insecure about everything because, you know, when you're 13 or whatever it is, you know, especially a 13-year-old girl. So was it really like challenging at first? Were you like ashamed or embarrassed? You know, how did you feel? How has that like evolved over time as you've, you know, grown into an adult?
Yeah, like being 13, you know, I was really ashamed and like, you know, and like I said, I already had that issue with the school, being the kid from Japan,
right?
Everyone's like grandparents went to preschool together. It was like that kind of community.
Yeah.
And I lived on base. So like, it's not like I was already like, we can't even get to Meg's house because she's on a military base.
Sure.
So yeah, I was very ashamed. And like, I used to like not tell people about my hearing loss at all. Even when like it would be convenient for people, because I think it's important to like tell people like, hey, I have a hearing loss, not for like the pity of it, just like, hey, FYI.
Yeah,
like,
heads up.
Yeah. So like I like was really ashamed and like, you know, was really embarrassed and like not telling when I was 13, really like 13 to 16. And then I moved to South Carolina where I completed the last 2 years of high school. And because it was a much bigger high school, also I had to take French, and French is awful because for good on people that took French, but I cannot differentiate the feminine and masculine words apart.
Okay.
My French teacher was terrible, but you'd have to do like these tests where you would have to hear and write down. Well, I couldn't do that very well. And because my other school, I took Latin, which I didn't have to hear anything. that was not by choice. That was assigned. Like the whole school took Latin. So I like really like had to start like telling like my teachers, like, okay, I have a hard time hearing. This is really difficult for me, but I still have like a lot of shame and feeling like I wasn't like ever good enough. And that is something that I may always struggle with, but I am so proud of where I am like now. So like, you know, all throughout college and, you know, meeting my husband, who has always been like really supportive of me and, you know, like never made me feel like that was like a lesser part of myself, made me realize like, I don't need to make that, like, I don't need to feel lesser. It doesn't mean I'm not embarrassed about it, but what has really helped me, I think, like the most is one, laughing at myself. I laugh I hear some really weird stuff and it's not often correct, but it is so funny what I repeat back to people. I think one time I felt like my brother-in-law told me he's going to steal a llama. And I was like, really now? Like, I was all in. I was so curious. And he was like, I said, it's going to Target, Meg. Where did we get the llama? And like, honestly, that's pretty funny. So I've like learned to laugh at myself. Sure. I think the other thing is too, I have really learned within the last like 6 months to a year that like I've had people that I've known like the last couple years that maybe they were like, they were friends I knew, but like they would get really frustrated with me and they like wouldn't like make an effort to like keep me up in conversation. I remember going to brunch and there were multiple people talking. I'd be like, oh, what did they say? And they like wouldn't fill me in. I was like, oh, never mind, Meg. It doesn't matter. Like it was 5 minutes ago. And it's just kind of me realizing like, I don't really need those people in my life. Like those aren't friends. And I think it's really taken me until now to realize like, I don't need those people either. So It's kind of like all those things and like laughing at myself, having a really like supportive, like husband and like, you know, as a military kid, my best friends are like all over the world. And also therapy helps. I would be a social worker if I didn't go to therapy. therapy, like working through that. But I really do get myself in some odd situations that are just so funny.
Do you have any like favorite resources or like Instagram accounts or anything that discuss hearing loss or being differently abled or anything like that that you want to share?
I will say there is, in my opinion, in my searches, I have not found that many like hearing loss resources or social media accounts. I find like more like deaf resources, but that is different because, you know, people who identify as deaf, like have like very little to no hearing.
Sure.
And a lot of them do use ASL. Mm-hmm. So that is just, I can't quite identify with that as much.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like why I did become a social worker in like hopes like, well, someday, you know, I'm only 26, but like someday, you know, I do want to create those hard of hearing resources. You know, I've been to 4 ENTs in my sporadic military kid life. And I've never once been given anything like, hey, here's like support groups for people with hearing loss.
Right.
Anything like that. And so it's really sad because I really feel like it would help a lot of our older population who need hearing aids and need that.
Yeah.
Get that information. So my dream is to eventually make those resources, but that's not today's day. I do follow like some great like people who like do have disabilities that like are on social media. And one that is like Spencer West. He's the person that doesn't have any legs, but like is differently abled. Mm-hmm. So his account's like Spencer to the West. And then another one is like Paul Castle. Paul Castle is a person who is blind. So he's really interesting because you would think, oh, blind people can't, people who are blind can't be on social media.
Right.
But he does. So yeah. It's really, and I've learned a lot about like people who are blind through him. So it's really interesting.
That's awesome.
And I'm sure there are more out there. Oh, the third one I thought, there's a place called Our Signed World, and it's about a deaf husband and hearing wife. They do ASL and they have a hearing daughter, but she also does ASL. So that's kind of cool.
Cool. Yeah, I'll link all those for the listeners in the show notes if they want to check those accounts out. But that is cool. And it's cool that you want to create those resources because like you said, there's obviously a gap in, you know, for people like you who are kind of in that middle ground where, yeah, okay, you're not deaf, but you still do need support and you need resources. And most importantly, you need connection with other people who can relate to you. I think that's the most important thing is we all just want to feel seen and heard and like we're not alone in the stuff that we're going through. And I'm sure that could be so valuable for people who just feel like they're like, they don't necessarily fit in this box or this box, but they want, you know, to chat with other people who know what they're going through.
Yeah. And I think like that is a huge part of it. And then the other thing, there's also like studies being done of like depression and people with hearing loss. Hearing loss is so isolating. Like It sucks when I'm in a restaurant, I can't hear people, and I so desperately I want to so bad.
Yeah.
But that's why I say it's really important to have those people in your life. So
yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't struggle though. I definitely still feel embarrassed, and I do. And in fact, one of my doctors I work with, he speaks super low, not his fault. It's just I can never hear him. But yeah. Eventually I apologize one too many times, and he's like, you just never need to apologize for that. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
You know, and my whole clinic, with the exception of that receptionist, they will follow me if I don't hear them either. So I've it's kind of cool because I've been able to educate the people around me.
Yeah.
But hopefully they can use those skills for the future too.
Absolutely. And I hope that that's what this episode will do too, is just remind us all to be, again, more patient and kind and empathetic with people. And especially if they go out of their way to tell you, hey, this is something that I need extra support in, let's be kind to people and help them, and not be like the people at brunch who are oh, never mind, you know, just going to dismiss you. And that can be such a big, big thing that I'm sure goes such a long way when people make that extra effort to make you feel heard and understood and all of those things. Is there anything that we missed today that you want to touch on, or any last points that you'd like to make or share with people?
Yeah, the last thing I could think of is hearing aids are not usually covered by insurance.
Wow.
Many people don't know that. Same with cochlear implants. They're extremely expensive. So when I was 17, mine actually were covered by insurance 100%. I actually don't know the price of it, but I did have to buy my most recent pair of hearing aids. But how much do you actually think hearing aids cost? I'm actually curious.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. I'm going to guess, with the prices of things these days, $1,000.
Okay, I'm going to shock you. So mine were $6,200.
Oh my gosh.
Now, at the time, my insurance gave me back $2,000. But they still cost me $4,200. And I had to pay actually $6,200 up front and then just pray it met the qualifications for my insurance. My current insurance plan does not pay for hearing aids at all. So they are not easily accessible. And that's
crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I spent years saving up for that because I was in grad school.
Yeah.
For 2 years before that. So,
yeah.
But it's just, because a lot of people are just go get hearing. I mean, I do have hearings. I recognize I have a privilege in that. But, I work with a lot of people that don't have that kind of money and they really need them.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so passionate about why I am a hospital social worker is because I want to have those resources be more affordable for people. And I asked your opinion because I was honestly just curious on how much you thought they would be. So I can tell you were oh my God, that's way more expensive than I would have told you.
Oh, for sure. And in hindsight, I guess 1,000 was probably kind of a low guess, but still, I mean, 6,200 is crazy expensive, especially for insurance to not cover it. And that to me is mind blowing. It's something that it's a medical necessity, in my opinion. I mean, you literally need that. So that's very upsetting. And I hope that that will change.
Yeah. And I hope it, and I know I'm a person of privilege because I was able to save and I was able to do that, but a lot of people just unfortunately can't do that. So.
Right. Well, gosh, I appreciate you just making us aware of so many of these things. And again, I think it's an important conversation that translates to so many different things, not just, hearing loss specifically, but, again, any person who's differently abled or just again, the need to be empathetic toward all humans for so many other reasons. So I think this was just a great conversation that'll be really, really helpful and full of good reminders for people. And then lastly, do you mind sharing your information if people want to connect with you? I did have a couple people submit to the question box that they have hearing loss as well and had hearing aids too. And so I'm sure we've got some people in the audience who would enjoy connecting with you and kind of thanking you for coming on and sharing your story.
Oh, wow. That's so cool that other people have a hearing loss. That message. I only know one person who is close to my age that has a hearing loss. But yes, my contact information is going to be my email because my name is Meg Johnson. I had to get real creative with my email.
true.
So my email is M as in Mike, B as in Bravo, Johnson 815@gmail.com. So, but definitely if you want to connect with me positively, I will definitely respond that way.
Awesome. Perfect. And again, I'll include your email address in the show notes as well for people so they can reach out if they'd like to. But yay, I just so appreciate your time and it was great chatting with you and appreciate all that you shared here today.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, let me know if you have any questions in the future. This is a big deal for me though. Like I said, my 13-year-old self would be so proud of me because I was so ashamed. I've really come a long way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you really have. That's amazing. I'm proud of you too.
So thank you for the opportunity. So maybe someday I'll have those hearing loss resources for people.
Yes, keep us posted on that. I would love to share it broadly if you do.
It may be a while, but we'll get there someday. So
hey, that's okay. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I hope you enjoyed this episode and took away some tips or wisdom that you can apply to boost your health and happiness starting today. If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review to help other women like you find my show and get inspired to start living a life they love. Also, take a quick screenshot and share it to your Instagram stories. Be sure to tag me at Wellness for the Win so I can see why you love today's show. Thank you so much for listening and talk to you next time.